reading is taken from St. John 20, verses 1 to verses 18. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said,
"They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him."
So Peter and the other disciples started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped round Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and one at the foot. They asked her,
"Woman, why are you crying?"
"They have taken my Lord away, and I don't know where they have put him."
At this, she turned round and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her,
"Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?"
Thinking he was the gardener, she said,
"Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him and I will get him."
Jesus said to her,
"Mary."
She turned towards him and cried in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said,
Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God."
Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news,
"I have seen the Lord."
And she told them that he had said these things to her. May God richly bless his word this morning.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you so much for that reading. That's great. Let's just pray. And Father God, Lord, I pray that, Lord, you would speak to us from this great story of the resurrection this morning. Lord, would you be at work amongst us by the power of your Spirit, Lord? Lord, would you apply it to our hearts and to our lives, to our souls, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, on this great Resurrection Sunday, on Easter Day, I could preach on many things. I could preach on the evidence for the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and there is really incontrovertible truth and proof of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I could preach about what the resurrection of Jesus Christ achieved. And it achieved so much, and we've heard something of that from the children this morning. But I simply want to preach this morning and say, Easter is for you. Easter is for you. It's not something that is detached from us. It's not a historical fact that happened in the past. Easter is for you. Jesus' death and resurrection is for you. Not just for the person sitting next to you, not just for the person who has been coming to church for 50 years. Easter, the resurrection, the death and resurrection of Jesus is for you, even if it's the first time you've ever been in the church, first time you've ever been here to this church, maybe. Jesus died and rose again for you personally, for us collectively. The resurrection is not just about facts, it's not just about evidence, it's not just about truth, it's not just about theology, it's not about a religious belief, it's about Jesus dying on the cross for you and rising from the dead, praise the Lord. And I want to show you that Jesus is just for you, is for you, from the story of Mary Magdalene, who witnessed the death and resurrection of Jesus. Out of all the people in Jerusalem that day, out of all the important and powerful religious and political leaders who were around Jerusalem at that time, Mary Magdalene was the first person Jesus revealed himself to after his resurrection. Out of all the millions of people alive today, out of all the important and powerful religious and political leaders today, the resurrected living Lord Jesus Christ wants to reveal himself to you and to me this Easter Sunday. Isn't that special? Isn't that wonderful? Mary Magdalene's story is perhaps one of the simplest of the Easter stories, but it's extremely powerful. And I believe her story relates to each one of us here today. You see, Easter is, first of all, for great sinners. Easter is for great sinners. Mary Magdalene was no saint. Please remember that. She was no Mother Teresa. She wasn't a religious person who had lived a holy, blameless life, who had been worshipping and faithfully and everything else. Mary Magdalene had lived an immoral life. She had probably been a prostitute. She may have been the sinful woman who anointed Jesus' feet in Luke 7, as one of the children reminded us of that story earlier. She had definitely struggled with mental and physical illness. She had been demon-possessed. Luke chapter 8, verse 2 tells us that Jesus had delivered her from seven demons. She was a social outcast. She was known as a great sinner. Yet this great sinner was the first person Jesus revealed himself to after his resurrection. That's wonderful. You know, just think for a moment, certainly for me, if I had been the newly resurrected Jesus, I wouldn't have appeared to Mary Magdalene first. I really wouldn't. I would have been appearing to Caiaphas, the high priest. He would have had something to experience. You know, I've been on trial before him. Hey, I'm appearing in your bedroom, Caiaphas. I am God. I've conquered death. You know, I would perhaps be appearing to Pilate, the Roman governor, who washed his hands of Jesus, saying, I'm back. I'm here. And make a few people tremble in their shoes. You know, I might have appeared very suddenly and first of all to King Herod, who had chopped John the Baptist's head off. And he might end up regretting that rather quickly as well. Or the Roman soldiers. I might have appeared in those Roman soldiers' praetorium or wherever it was, where I'd been beaten and whipped and mocked and scorned and had a crown of thorns put on my feet. And they would get a taste of my tongue. They would see my power at work in the resurrected Jesus Christ. Isn't it amazing? Isn't it incredible that Jesus doesn't go and appear to anyone of those people? But he comes and he reveals himself. He speaks to and reveals himself, first of all, to a despised, sinful woman, a social outcast, a woman who struggled with illness and demonic oppression. You see, Jesus' resurrection wasn't for the rich. It wasn't for the religious. It wasn't for the self-righteous. It wasn't for the powerful or the politicians. Easter and Jesus' resurrection is for great sinners like you and me. I'm not pointing the finger and saying you're great sinners. You are great sinners. Every single one of us here today is a great sinner. If you don't believe that, then you're never going to really celebrate Easter. You're a great sinner. I'm a great sinner as well. We're on the same level, same playing fields. We're all on the same basis. Easter, Jesus' resurrection, is for great sinners like you and me. It's for the social outcasts. It's for despised sinners. It's for broken people who've struggled with illness or addiction or demonic oppression or whatever struggle it's been. And all of us are, as I've said, great sinners like Mary Magdalene. We may not have been prostitutes. We may not have been demon-possessed. Or we may not struggle with depression or illness or whatever. But every one of us struggles with sin. Did you realize that? Every single one of us here today struggles with sin. We like to pretend we don't we? We like to think that we're better than other people. And we don't want other people, the people sitting next to us, to realize how big a sinner we are. Because if they really understood what a big sinner we were, they might not actually want to be friends with us. In fact, you probably wouldn't want to be sitting next to them in church. You know, but that is the reality. We all sin in what we say. Looking out here, there's a few of you have put your foot in where in situations. We all sin through what we say, what we do, and even more so, isn't it, through what we think so often. What goes on here in the mind, the evil and the wicked thoughts that can go on, and the things that are done in the secret places. We're all sinners. We all struggle with sin, with things that are wrong and things that are even evil. The Apostle Paul, he wrote more than a third of the New Testament, but he calls himself the chief of sinners. The chief of sinners. And we're fooling ourselves if we think we're not sinners. John, in his 1 John says, if we say we have no sin, the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So Easter and the cross and the resurrection is for great sinners like you and me. And you will never understand Easter. You'll never understand why Jesus died on the cross. You'll never understand the importance of Jesus' resurrection if you don't, first of all, accept that you're a great sinner. Because Jesus dying on the cross, he died as a substitutionary sacrifice for our sin. And that is meaningless if you think that you're not a sinner. Unless we are convicted and convinced that we're great sinners who deserve nothing but the judgment of God, we'll never fully understand why Jesus had to die on the cross for us. And so we need the Holy Spirit, don't we, on this Easter day to convict us of our sinfulness. Because you're totally deluded if you think that you can walk into heaven because you've been a relatively good person. Or a decent human being, because none of us are good enough. The standard, God's standard, is perfection and holiness. And so we desperately need the Holy Spirit to convict us, to convict members of our family, our friends, our neighbors, our workmates, that they're great sinners too, that they are deserving nothing but the wrath and judgment of God. And if you know you're a great sinner, if you know, as we often sing in this church, that we're wretched and poor and blind, Easter is for you. Easter is for you personally. Jesus died for you. He paid the price and the punishment for your sin. He rose victorious over your sin and death and the hell that you deserve. You can experience Jesus' power, Jesus' resurrection power and presence in your life through the Holy Spirit. You will be born again. You will rule and reign with Jesus eternally. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. That's the good news of Easter. So Easter 2026 is for great sinners like you and me. You don't have to be someone special. Easter is for ordinary sinners, ordinary people. People who have messed up their lives, people who struggle in many different ways, whether it is with depression or despair or doubt or disease or addiction or brokenness or pain. Easter, the death and resurrection of Jesus, is for you. And it's for me, praise God. So why was Mary there on that resurrection morning? Because she had found Easter is about a great Savior. Some months, some years before that resurrection morning, Mary had met with Jesus. Jesus had transformed her life. Jesus had not rejected or despised her as others did. Jesus didn't reject her because of her great sinfulness. Jesus didn't reject her because of her many problems and demons. Instead of rejecting her, Jesus had compassion on her. He showed her what true love really is. He had delivered her from 7 demons. Jesus had saved and rescued her. Praise God. She was now in her right mind, mentally, physically, spiritually healed. She owed everything to Jesus. That's why Mary loved Jesus so much. Jesus himself said, those who have been forgiven much love much, don't they? You know, if you have been forgiven, if you know that you're a great sinner, and you know that God has forgiven your sins, I tell you what, you want to spend your life in worship and love and praise and service of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, because you get it. You understand that Jesus has died on the cross, rose again from the dead for you personally, and it transforms your whole life. Mary hadn't experienced the love and acceptance that had come from God. She'd been delivered. She'd been set free. She had a new peace. She had a new love. She had a new joy in her soul. And this Easter, Jesus invites you to come to him. Now, the wonderful truth is, Jesus will not reject you if you come to him. I remember when I became a Christian, or the night that I became a Christian, I thought I was too bad. I thought I'd blown it. I'd been brought up in a religious background that had taught me all about sin, and I thought I was far too big a sinner to be accepted by Jesus Christ. But I discovered that Jesus accepts sinners like me. He accepts you as a sinner. He does not reject you if you come to him. And so this Easter time, Jesus invites each one of us to come to him. Maybe you've come to him many times in the past, but he invites you to come to him afresh this Easter, to know his resurrection power at work in your lives, transforming and continuing to transform your lives. He will not reject you. None of your problems are too big for Jesus. They may be far too big for you. They may be far too big for your counselors. You know, if you go for counseling, sometimes the counselor ends up more traumatized than you do. But Jesus won't. Your problems are not too big for Jesus. He can deliver you from sin. He can set you free, praise God. You too can experience the love and the acceptance of Jesus in your life. And it's a pure love. And it's a pure acceptance. And Mary had experienced all this from Jesus. Life was wonderful with Jesus in her life. She knew that she was saved. She knew that she was forgiven. She knew that she was free. She just loved following Jesus. She was listening to Jesus. She was loving Jesus. She was serving Jesus. And it was a complete joy to her. She was following Jesus around. She was drinking up Jesus' words. She just wanted to be with Jesus. She would do anything she could for Jesus because she knew what Jesus had done for her. She'd experienced that. And that's why we think that she was a sinful woman who anointed Jesus' feet and washed his feet with her hair. And just in love and devotion to Jesus, her life was totally transformed. Jesus had given her new life. But then something terrible happened to Mary. She suffered a great shock. Jesus, Mary's precious Lord and Savior, her rescuer, was arrested, tried, horribly beaten and tortured, and she could do nothing about it. He was nailed to a cross. She had been there. She'd seen his suffering on the cross. She'd seen when those nails were driven through his hands and feet. She was a witness to it. She stood there. She waited. She watched as he suffered on the cross. Jesus, the one who had saved and rescued her, was now dying on the cross. And she couldn't understand it. And then she was there when he died. How? She thought that he was the Messiah. She thought that he was the answer to the world's needs. And now, he was dead. And she was as good as dead herself, wasn't she? She was just completely devastated. Her wonderful Savior, her Lord, her Master, the one that she believed was God's Son, was suffering and dying on the cross and was now dead. And it was a terrible shock for Mary. But she refused to run away like Jesus' disciples. She stayed and witnessed Jesus' suffering and death. She never left. Do you know, she even followed Joseph of Arimathea and his men when they took Jesus to bury. They took Jesus' body to bury so that she could see. So that she could see for herself where they had laid Jesus. There was no way that Mary was ever going to leave or desert Jesus. And that is why on that Sunday morning, early in the morning, Mary was the first one to Jesus' tomb. She knew where Jesus' tomb was. She had never left him. She followed him even to the grave. And even though Jesus was dead, she still wanted to show her love and devotion to Jesus. She was there at sunrise. That's how much she loved Jesus. That's how much she worshipped Jesus. That's how much she served Jesus. She just wanted to anoint his dead body with oil. She just wanted to be ministering to Jesus even though he was dead. And Mary was totally devastated. She didn't understand what was going on. She was overwhelmed with grief. And there can be times in our lives when we have got no idea what's going on. Everything seems to be collapsing around us. And Mary's asking, why has God allowed this to happen to Jesus? Why has God allowed this to happen to my precious Lord and Savior? See, Mary didn't understand that God had a far greater plan. He had a far greater purpose for Jesus. That he had a far greater plan and purpose for her life, for his disciples, for history, for the brokenness and the pain in the world, even up to 2026. You see, the empty tomb was a great surprise for Mary. Mary went to the tomb still devastated, still weeping, still asking why. She went there because she wanted to serve her Savior Jesus this one last time. And it was a terrible shock to her to see the stone rolled away. Someone had taken Jesus, her beloved. Someone had taken his body away. She runs back to Peter and his friends, full of raw grief and anger and pain, and telling them that Jesus' body, that the tomb is empty, that someone has stolen Jesus' body. And Peter and others rush to the empty tomb. But after they leave, Mary stays. You see, she still can't bear to leave the last place she knew her precious Jesus had been. And she looks back into the empty tomb and she sees two angels and they ask her, why are you crying? I would have thought it was a bit obvious. You know, Mary must have been thinking, what on earth, you know, what planet are these angels on? Why are you crying? You've got an empty tomb. All that's happened. Why are you crying? And she turns around and sees who she thinks is the gardener. And she asks him to tell her where Jesus' body is. And Jesus replies to her with just one word. Mary. Mary. There are so many things that Jesus could have said. It's me. Or I've been to hell and back for you, you know. Or I've beaten death. But Jesus simply spoke her name. Her name, Mary. And Jesus said her name in such a way that Mary knew instantly it was Jesus. That one word. That one name transformed Mary's world in an instant. The tears, the grief, the pain, the devastation was gone. Jesus was alive! Praise God! Jesus called Mary by name. You see, Easter wasn't for the rich and the famous. It wasn't for the powerful or religious. Easter was for a great sinner like Mary Magdalene. A social outcast, a failure, an ordinary sinner like you and me. Easter and the resurrection and death and resurrection of Jesus is for you and for me. And in all the excitement and celebration of Easter and the resurrection and all the theology of Easter in 2026, never forget that Jesus knows your name. He knows your name. This Easter, Jesus is risen. And the all-powerful, risen Lord Jesus Christ is calling your name. Not just the person who you're sitting next to, he's calling your name. And the question is how will you respond to him this Easter? How will you respond to him? Jesus knows you by name. And Jesus is saying today, your name, and he says, my death and my resurrection is for you. It's for you, John, and Azra, and Gerald, and Hillary, and Graham has probably fallen asleep. And Jesus has died for you. He's risen for you. He calls you by name. And will you this Easter respond to Jesus as Mary responded? Will you respond in love, in worship, in praise, in adoration, in thankfulness, in devotion, in service? Will you never leave him? Will you follow him? And will you keep following him? Not giving up when the news isn't so good. Not giving up when troubles and difficulties come, but being not running away like the disciples did, but to keep on following Jesus, even when you don't understand what's going on in your life. That's what Mary did. And Jesus revealed himself. He called her by name. How will you respond this Easter to Jesus' suffering, death, and resurrection? Jesus, you see, is the only one who can rescue you and save you from death and hell. Will you accept Jesus as your Savior and Lord this Easter time? Because of Easter and the cross and resurrection, there is a very special book. A book that would not have existed if Jesus had not risen from the dead. And that book is called in the Bible the Lamb's Book of Life. And that Lamb's Book of Life is full of names. That's what the Bible tells us. Mary Magdalene's name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I believe by God's amazing grace and mercy that my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That blows me away. I certainly don't deserve to have my name in that Lamb's Book of Life, but I think because of Jesus' death on the cross and his resurrection victory over my sin and my death and the hell that I deserve, that my name is in the Lamb's Book of Life, and for no other reason than because of what Jesus has done. The question is your name in the Lamb's Book of Life? Jesus knows you by name. Is your name in the Lamb's Book of Life? It will be if you repent of your sin and believe in him this Easter time. Because Easter is not only about the torture and the suffering and the death of Jesus on the cross. It's not just about the explosive power of the resurrection. Easter is also about the risen, all-powerful Jesus calling your name and saving and rescuing you, putting your name in the Lamb's Book of Life, transforming your life and giving you a new message to proclaim, because he gave Mary a new message to proclaim, didn't he? Go tell my brothers, go tell everyone the good news. Jesus is alive, praise God. He is risen, he is victorious, praise God. And Jesus wants us, he wants you and me today to burst out of this church with a new message to tell your family and your friends and your neighbors and your community. It is true. The Lord is risen from the dead. He is alive. He can be your Savior and your Lord. You can have forgiveness and freedom and new life through the living Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. Jesus is calling your name. How will you respond to him this Easter? How you respond to him will determine whether your name is written on in the Lamb's Book of Life. Easter is for you. Easter is for great sinners. And Easter is about Jesus, the great Savior. Praise God. Let's pray. Father God, Lord, we want to thank and we want to praise you that Easter is for each one of us. Lord, we want to thank and we want to praise you that we do not worship a Jesus who is hanging on the cross, but we worship at an empty tomb because you have risen victorious over sin and death and hell. Lord, we thank and we praise you that you know our names. Lord, I thank you that you call each one of us by name. And Lord, We thank and we praise you that if we repent of our sin and if we believe in Jesus Christ and if we follow Jesus Christ in our lives, that, Lord, our names will be written in the Lamb's Book of Life and we will spend eternity in the new heaven and the new earth, ruling and reigning with Jesus Christ in the new paradise. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we praise you. Lord, we worship you this Easter Sunday in Jesus' name. And everyone says, amen, amen. Be blessed.